Amen. Thank you, Brother Bookout. Thank you, church, for the song service. As I said before, it's good to be back home, good to be back with you all. If you'll turn your Bibles back to John chapter 15, we've started a new series. I don't expect it to last too long. It may last another 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know. I haven't put it all together yet. Still working on the outlines. And you know how it goes. It goes slow sometimes. But we started in John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19, talking about how the world will hate Jesus and hate Jesus' followers. That's us. If the world, in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, this is very true. The world does hate us. And hate us, they will continue to do. Our first point was that the world does not understand who controls them. The world doesn't understand who controls everything. The world hates God because God is sovereign. He's not just a king. He is the king of all kings. He's not just a Lord, he is the Lord of all lords. He is not just a God, he is the God of all gods. In the beginning was God. When nothing else existed, before anything was ever created, there was God. And God, sending his Son into this world to correct the issue of sort that Adam and Eve had caused by bringing sin into the world, by the help of Satan, Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died to redeem a remnant of people. And that remnant is different from the world. The Lord talks about, let our light so shine. It's not the lights of the building, it's not the lights of our house, it's the light that's in us. The Word of God, the Lord's in us, the Holy Spirit's in us. And that should be shining out to the world. Our church light should be bright. I'm not talking about these lights in here. I'm talking about us. We should be different from the world. When congregations calling themselves churches allows the world to come in, allows the world to be a part of them, then they become the world. You got to satisfy the world if you're going to play with the world. The world don't only just include lost people that don't go to church. It also includes lost people that do go to church. They will hate you. They will despise you. They call themselves Christians. They call themselves churches. But they will hate you. The only way you can get along with lost people is to join them. Is to be a part of them. Is to be what they are. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, we see here the difference between the saved and the lost. The Lord says in verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 11, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Lord chastened me. A lot of Christians get sire when the Lord brings chastisement to them. When the Lord brings trials and tribulations and persecutions, they just sink under the ground because they just don't know what to do. You know why they don't know what to do? They haven't been to church. They haven't been to a real church. They haven't been sitting and getting fed in the house of God. They're out in the world and they're letting the world control them. We who get fed by the Word of God, we understand that when we need it, not necessarily when we do bad. Does we have to do bad for the Lord to chasten us? It's when we need it, when we need correction. Sometimes we steer the car and it don't go straight. the car of righteousness. And it veers all over the road, and Lord needs to straighten us up a little bit. We may not be correct on something. We may be chasing rabbits that we shouldn't be chasing. And the Lord may need to correct us a little. That's all it is. Chasing is just correcting. But thank God he does. Because I don't want to be condemned with the world, do you? I thank Jesus Christ every day that he saved my soul. I thank God that I'm a Christian. Just a Christian, nothing else. I thank God for everything he does, but the most important is that I'm a Christian. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 tells us when the world's going to be condemned. He says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Not because he didn't do enough works, not because he wasn't righteous enough, not because he didn't do enough sacrifices, it's because he didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this world and went to that cross and gave his life to redeem us. His blood paid ransom for every sin we will ever commit. Now, if Jesus Christ's blood cleansed us from all of our sins, if he paid the ransom for all of them, then there's no sin to condemn us. Lord says over in 1 John, we don't sin. Well, we do, but we don't. My wife bugs me sometimes when she starts that. Well, it is, but it isn't. Well, is it is or is it? You know? Well, we do sin, but Jesus' blood covers that sin, doesn't it? It's not okay to sin. God never authorizes sin. He never excuses sin. But he doesn't condemn us because of sin. Because Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins. Not the world. Their judgment day don't have to come for their condemnation. They're condemned already. The great white throne is just to judge them and put them in the part of hell that God's going to put them for all eternity. They're condemned today. Don't think, well, one day they'll stand before God and he will condemn them. No, he's already condemned them. They were condemned when Adam sinned. When sin was brought into the world, they were condemned. Everybody was condemned. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The lost are disobedient because there's nothing to correct them. God doesn't deal with them and correct them in a way of correction. He does us, doesn't he? But God doesn't correct the lost. If God's going to correct the lost, he's going to save them first. Now, you say, well, he sends hurricanes, he sends earthquakes, he sends other things. Sure, and it rains on the just and unjust alike, doesn't it? I mean, when a hurricane comes, if God sends it as judgment, I believe he does. Well, it's going to affect the saved just as much as lost, isn't it? It rains on the just and unjust alike, the Lord says. They're condemned to hell for all eternity. There is no correcting them. He has no reason to correct them. Read Romans 1. When he gave them over as reprobates, he gave them over for the sin that they are. He gave them up four times in Romans 1, the second half of that chapter. Four times God gave them up. And these are going to be our friends. These are going to be people we want to take advice from. These are going to be people we want to learn from. These are going to be people we want to satisfy in life to make them happy. Because the only way you're going to make a lost person happy is do their will. I know. I catch it from them all the time on Facebook. Well, not all the time, sometimes. Telling me I'm wrong. Telling me I'm crazy. I'm okay with that. At least they're talking to me. At least they read, apparently read what I wrote, otherwise they wouldn't be mad, would they? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, the Lord said, knowing this, that the law is made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manslayers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Why would God make the law for us? Are we under the law? Jesus lived the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. We're not under the law. The law is a good thing for us, isn't it? We should not do the things that God tells us not to do. But God's not going to judge us by that law, by his law, any of it. Jesus Christ was judged for us. These people, they want to work their way to heaven, and they want God to judge them. He will. Jesus will. At the great white throne, he sure will. Because that's exactly where they're going. When they die, he's going to resurrect them up, and they're going to stand before him. He's going to drag them right out of hell. And he's going to make them stand before him. He's going to open up all them volumes of books, so to speak. He's not actually going to open up books. It just gives us a understanding of what judgment is. And here's the things they've done. Jesus knows every one of them. Why are they condemned? Why are they sent to hell? He says, because I didn't know you. You're not mine. I did not know you. So he's going to open them up, all them book, volumes of books, so to speak, and he's going to judge the world out of those books. Yeah, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Cast out devils in thy name? Well, you say you have, which is lies. But you also did this. Remember all that money you stole from the little old ladies? Remember all the homes you stole from their families by lying and cheating and stealing from them? Yeah, the Lord knows about all of it. Nothing's hid from God. Nothing. That's their judgment. And depending on what degree of hell they deserve, this is the degree of hell he's going to put them in. You say the degrees they are. I don't know how many. But isn't Satan in the hottest part of hell? Or will be? Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and those that served him will be in the hottest part of hell. So if there's a hottest part, there must be parts that are not so hot. But believe me, none of them is anything anybody would ever want to stand. But look what God condemned here. Look what they are. If you'll notice the last one, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is against all these things, aren't they? This is the reason why the churches, even what used to be churches, real churches, are not anymore. Because they've left their first love. They've left the Lord. They've left this doctrine. So they've got into Arminianism. The Lord's not going to allow his churches to be involved in Arminianism. God doesn't want his people with them. He doesn't even want us to associate with them. He tells us not to bid them Godspeed over in 1 John. Don't support them in any way. Don't tell them you're going to pray for them. If you do, God's not going to be happy about that prayer, and he certainly isn't going to answer it for you because he told you not to. Because when you partake of their Godspeeding, when you partake of association with them of any kind, you are part of their false ministries. You shouldn't even go in their buildings. Well, they have a beautiful Christmas program, and they don't pray. Folks don't even walk in through the door. It's forbidden. The world in its teaching is all about anti-God. Anti-God, that's right. Even a lot of places call themselves organizations that call themselves churches. The government is anti-God. Yeah, they hate God. The news broadcasters, they hate God. Our educational system, they hate God. I don't mean all the teachers are God haters. Don't even start the email. But the educational system is anti-God. Lawlessness in our streets. Do you see it? You ever watch the news? I don't watch the news anymore. You know what I do? I go over on YouTube and I watch Fox News over there. Whatever I want to watch, and I just click it off and I go watch one of these Arkansas cop cases or something. Georgia. They have some good ones. I go over and watch people getting put in jail and stuff. Lawlessness is all over the streets, folks. It's everywhere. Have you seen the stores getting, where they just walk in and help themselves whatever they want and walk right out the door? I went over Lowe's today. I was building a headboard for our bed, and Rebecca wanted me to build one. And I went up there and got some more stuff to finish it up this morning and got out there to my car, and I noticed that I had some wood filler that I didn't pay for. I was looking around for security, you know. And no security, but I took it back inside and paid for it. And they said, you actually come in here and paid for that? Yeah. Lawlessness. You know, it's terrible. Murder and crime. Murder and crime all over the place. Kids, killing kids in school. People walking in, shooting up churches. People killing pastors. And you don't hear the news media, you don't hear these lost people angry about it, do you? You had an illegal alien to murder an innocent woman, And our president finally said something right. He called him an illegal. And they trashed him for it. He killed a woman who did nothing. And they're worried about him saying illegal. That's what he is. They're all over here illegally. I've been watching videos on YouTube. You can educate on YouTube. Where a guy in Ohio filmed a truck driver who just stopped in the middle of the road. Woman with child pulled up behind him and just sitting there, and he backs up into him. Then he's going to just drive off. Guy jumped from his truck. Run over me if you want to. He couldn't speak English. Had no driver's license to drive a truck. Well, I understand why you don't have a driver's license. You know, you can't drive a commercial vehicle in the United States of America if you do not have English. But they're doing it. That's about the third or fourth one I've saw lately of illegals driving trucks who cannot, no comprendes. Hey, folks, listen, they want them over here for cheap labor. They want to say, none of us really work anymore, except for Justin. He's not going to be replaced by an illegal because he does his own business. But they're replacing people with them. They work cheap. They're paying an American truck driver 60 cents a mile, whatever they pay now. I can't believe they pay that much. I didn't make that. Anyway, they're paying an American truck driver who's had all the training, who does it right, and who's done it for years, 60 cents a mile. They're paying an illegal probably 10 cents a mile. The world belongs to Satan and lost people. That's who it belongs to, the system of the world. Folks, it's not going to get better. Listen, I'll say it. It don't bother me to say it. I hope Donald Trump wins, okay? I really do. If he don't, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it because I know who's in control. But I do hope he wins. But he's not our Savior. He's not going to save anybody. Jesus Christ is our Savior. God is our buckler. God is our resting place. God is our hiding place. God is everything we need. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, the world's Satan playground. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Listen, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, the Lord says here, the world's going to get so bad that the deceivers themselves are going to get deceived by better deceivers. And they do, don't they? Romans chapter 1 mentioned, let's go over there. The world's not going to improve unless God changes it. But God has given it over to those who have evil hearts. You know when God will change the world? When Jesus sits on the throne of David and in Jerusalem. That's when things will change. Not save the people, but they won't be sinning. They're already sinners. They're going to be charged with sin. They were born sinners. They're condemned. But Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years while Jesus Christ sits on his father David's throne. And you know what's going to happen after that? Satan will be loosened and God's going to kill them all. Everybody. He did it before. He's going to do it again. So let's see what God says here in Romans chapter 1. I have three passages we're going to look at real quickly. The first one is in verse 23 and 24, speaking of lost people. He says, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. That's what they've done, haven't they? To them, God is nothing but a man. That's all he is. He can't even save a sinner. He can't do nothing. To the birds and the four-footed beast and creepy things, wherefore God also gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. He's not begging, pleading with them. He just gave them up. To the uncleanness, through the lust of their own heart, to go ahead and dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You don't be gay, be gay. You don't have a sex change, have a sex change. If you're a man, you want to be a woman, be a woman. If you're a woman, you want to be a man, be a man. You can defile what God has made us all you want to. People keep saying, God made male and female. Well, he did. That's exactly what Adam and Eve were, wasn't it? But see, the world has defiled God. So they have changed things just a little bit, haven't they? Unfortunately for them, they can't actually change what God had made them, can they? If a man was born a man, he will die a man. And no, he can't have children. Nothing they can do to his body that will enable him to be able to have a child. These ignorant, stupid, dumb, I can't even think of the words I want to say. People who tell you that man can have a baby are lunatics. And this is exactly what God's talking about right here, isn't it? What's it say about them? God gave them up to their own corruption. Drop down to verse 26. God gave them up to be sexually evil. He says in verse 26, 27, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Wow. Can you say wow? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. It's amazing what they call themselves. You know, I grew up. Never mind. Let's move on. I'm going to say something I'm going to get in trouble for. As Christians, we are to be tolerant. I'm sorry. As Christians, we are to be as tolerant, or tolerant as a worldly lust, but never accept it. We can't stop it. We can't change it, can we? I didn't say acceptable of it. I said tolerant of it. We do nothing by going to war with the world, folks. Listen to God. He's gave them up. He's not changing them. We're not changing them. We profit nothing by going into the world and condemning them. Nothing. We're not going to change them. You cannot change them. God finished with these words in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Remember Romans 3? They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge also. Listen, God gave them up. Gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God just gave them up to do it. Go do it. They're lost. They're not the elect of God. God just gave them up to go do it. He didn't stop them. Can God stop them? Can God stop abortion? God can stop anything. He can change the world today. All he has to do is save the world. He's not going to. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, magnanimity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. Wow, can God just keep going? Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have pleasure in them that do them. You know, they believe the judgment of God will come on them. You tell them you're going to go to hell for what you're doing. You do know that, right? They'll laugh at you. They don't care. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to try to finish this a little bit here in the next 5 minutes so I can get on my third point after that. God warned us not to be takers and not to be part with heathenism. In chapter 6, or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 and 8 through 18, and what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath the believer with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For what are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Leave them. Get away from them. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be your a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hebrews chapter 7. Scripture like that, you don't even have to preach on it. We do, but you don't have to. It's self-explanatory. That's one of the simplest scriptures in the Bible to read right there to understand. God said, come out from among them, be you separate. What do you have in common with them? The scripture speaking of the holiness of Jesus Christ said in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 through 26, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. For such a high priest become us, and became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, separate from sinners. He said, if Jesus went around sinners, if Jesus didn't go around sinners, he wouldn't have ever saved anybody. We can't save anybody. And made higher than the heavens. Separate from sinners means, as Albert Barnes said, that is, he did not associate with them as such. He did not partake in their feelings, plans, or pleasures. Though he mingled with them, yet it was merely to do them good. And in all his life, there was an entire separation from the feelings, principles, and views of the simple world. He's right. So when people use that as an excuse, they don't know what you're talking about. It is not an excuse for us to go out and be with the world. We're not Jesus. We're not God. We are redeemed sinners, saved by Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. We have nothing in common with them. Yeah, we have things in common with our family. I'm not saying, but the Lord does say in Matthew that if it comes to it, God is more to you than your own family. I don't tell people not to mingle with their family. I mingled with mine. Most of them don't want to be around me anymore, but I mingled with them, mine. That's just what we are. We're family, aren't we? But we're not part of this world, folks. We're not to partake in it. We're not to be a part of it. We are separate from them. We are pilgrims passing through. Our home is way, way beyond the blues. One day we will walk and be with the Lord. We will see and talk to our Lord. We will worship Him and glorify His name for all eternity. This world has nothing in common with us. Let's all stand. We'll pick up next week with our third point. Like I say, I don't know how many points I'll have. Probably not many. Probably maybe two or three more weeks. I don't know. But anyway, I do hope that you enjoyed that. And maybe got refreshed a little bit on some things. And I'm going to ask Brother Bookout if he will dismiss his word prayer.